Welcome to the Roadmap to Wealth show. The show is hosted by the Invest Tribe community, a total European resource for anyone looking to succeed in all sorts of investing. Real estate, stock market, bonds and ETFs, cryptocurrency, foreclosure, peer-to-peer lending, business and startups. Before we get to today's interview, if you are a new listener, be sure to go to investtribe.org and subscribe, because we offer content, tools, and an international community of experts, newbies, and everyone in between to help people to learn investing, network, find partners, deals, and financing, and make the best investing decisions possible. Let us start the show.
Welcome to another episode of Roadmap to Wealth podcast. Today we're going to talk with Michelle Bertrand. Michelle, together with her mom, Beth, are the creators of Dream Retirement Process. After seeing firsthand how wrong financial information can ruin financial futures and crush dreams, they started on a mission to change the financial industry, to turn confusion into clarity and see people live their dreams. Michelle also helped business owners create a financial business plan with a focus on reducing taxes and increases both income and quality of life. Welcome, Michelle. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
You too. Thanks for having me.
So tell me about the time you started your business. How did it all start?
Yes, well, it started actually because my mom was in the financial industry. So when I was 18, you know, I'm looking for what I'm going to do. And I think most 18-year-olds don't know exactly what they want to do at that point. What I knew, what was important to me, is that I wanted to continue doing missions. And I knew that when I someday had kids, I wouldn't want to be, you know, gone every day, all day from home. So I thought, well, my mom has been flexible. She seemed to make a good living and she was around for us when we were kids. And so I'll join her business. And that's about as much as I knew about the financial industry when I started. So that's kind of how I got into the business. And then it was probably a few years. I always said I just rode along with, sat along in with my mom's meetings, learned the business. I always joked in the beginning, she would tell people I just got my license, and she thought, you know, she was referring to my insurance and investment license, but people thought I just got my driver's license because I looked young. But it took me a little bit in the industry to learn kind of what our industry was about. And I share a story in the beginning of the book really that goes on in more detail just on how I kind of got a rude awakening into it, that the industry, there's too many agents and companies in the industry that are more concerned about themselves than they are for the clients. And at that point, I kind of realized that while I can do everything else with this career that I wanted, I also can make a difference for the people I'm working with. So we kind of been on a mission ever since that to change the industry. And one of the ways we do that is just to put good information out there and to be a guide. And that's why we wrote the book. And that's why we do any of the speaking events we do as well.
Okay, tell me about the book.
So the book, Creating Your Dream Retirement, it's not a financial book in that we're going to go into lots of details and products or anything. It really is about a process. And so the process is something that's just simple as starting with where you want to go, or kind of we call it in the book, you know, what's your dream picture, painting your dream picture. And so I think this is important because a lot of times financial advisors and planners and everything, they want to start with the numbers. And the numbers don't really matter as much until you know why they matter, if that makes sense, and what you want to do with it. And so the book really goes through that process and helping you think through those things. Then it will talk about kind of figuring out where you're at and uncovering obstacles, both seen and unseen. That's something that we do. And then the integrated blueprint is something, as we go on, we call it really your business plan for life. And it's how all your areas are going to work together, because investment mix is one thing, but how your investments work with taxes, how they work with your cash flow, how they work with your estate, all that needs to be integrated, because if it's not integrated, it can cause problems in one area. So we go through that, what that looks like. And for a lot of people, what's helpful is we just give examples, and we go through some other clients, how, what their dreams were, what they wanted to do, and then what their blueprint looked like to get them there. And so it's really more about a process and sharing a lot of stories. I know when I read books, I like stories. And so we made sure that every chapter has a story to start and illustrated and a lot of client stories. So
well, thank you very much. Please share with us, what was the hardest challenge when you started this dream retirement process?
I think the hardest challenge for us, and I think would probably be similar for a lot of businesses, is marketing, for lack of a better term. But it's really just finding the right people that you need to talk to and get in front of it and how to do it. And I think in today's world, it's changing all the time. When we first started, it's been like 18 years ago since I started with my mom, right? Marketing then and marketing today was completely different. We live in this world today where there's almost like an information overload and people are inundated with content and information. So it's really how to break through the noise and get to the right people with just what they need. And I think that's been the biggest challenge, and just, figuring out how to work in different as times change and communities change, how do we get that into people's hands?
Yes, I see. It's like for any business. Yeah. Most of the business, as you said, it's how to break out of the noise. So how do you do this? How do we break out of the noise?
How do we do that? Yeah, that's a good question. It's a continual changing one. Let's put it that way. So we do a lot of events. We do public events, but we're starting to do more. We did a podcast ourselves for a couple of years here on the radio station. We do an interview on another radio station. And then our book has really been something that helps with that and getting it into people's hands, whether they call from the radio, they've called from podcasts to get it. A lot of our clients will take it when they know people are retiring or in that area, or business owners, and give it to them. Actually, just yesterday I talked to a client's friend and he had given them the book and they're about ready to retire. And the book helps them kind of, I guess, get to know us before they come in. And so that's been one of the ways we've been doing it. And another thing that I've been doing and I think is really successful, and we've been building on this, is just partnerships. And so business partnerships, as we kind of went through the business plan for life, you have a tax person, you have an insurance person, investment person, all these people work with the client, and whoever the client kind of comes to first and builds that relationship with, they usually want to stay with that person. And so I've really worked on developing a good team around us, teams that we can collaborate and do joint and share, do work with to help the client better. But that becomes a way too to break through the noise, because we're doing it with relationships. And I think that's been our biggest focus the last year or two.
Thank you. What makes you feel passionate about your business? Because if you want to do all this work, you have to feel passionate about your business. So what makes you feel passionate about your business?
Yeah, well, I think the passion first starts, and we kind of put this even on our website, it's really about relationships. And the first relationship that's important to me is my relationship with God. And so that passion drives me in anything that I do. And the belief in there is one of my theme scriptures, and usually I put it in every book that I sign, is Jeremiah 29:11-13. And it says, God has a plan and a purpose for you, in a nutshell. And so I believe that with every person, God has a purpose for. And so my passion and what kind of drives me is really helping people live their passion. And when it comes to retirement, a lot of times it's a good transition time. And a lot of times people have shoved their passions away for so long because they've just in the pursuit of, in for essence where I live, the American dream or whatever it was, to keep up with the Joneses, and they just kind of go to work and do this. And sometimes the passion gets put aside. And even for business owners, I see that they started the business with passion, this passion, and then it becomes all this day-to-day stuff of trying to just keep the business running. Sometimes our passions get put aside. And so when we come in and let's say someone's transitioning to retirement, or I'm helping a business owner, a lot of times that's a first starting with a tax plan. It all comes down to what is the path. If we get these things taken care of, we can spend more time and focus on the passion, which is what drives people. And so I guess that's where my passion is. And also, I feel like if we have knowledge, we have to share it, right? Like there's another scripture that talks about which much is given, much is required. And I believe that is true in anything. And so I see too many people, I've saw people been hurt financially because they've had the wrong information. Yeah. And their retirement's ruined. And so, we can't change the whole world, but we can do our part. I always talk about like the story of the starfish, where the old man's on the beach and he keeps throwing starfish back. And this young man goes, "What are you doing? You're never going to make a difference." And the old man picks up a starfish. He goes, "But it makes a difference to this one." And so we kind of feel like as much as we can get out there, we can help people to not be in bad situations because they have the wrong financial advice.
Tell me about the project that you consider to be the most important in your life.
The most important in my life. Okay. So I would say that is really revolved. Of course, business is important, and the passion to help people live their passions. That's the biggest project. But if we want to go outside of that, I would say it's about my kids. And with that, I would say two things. I've adopted two sons, Asa and Asher, and those, they're my they're my boys, and what we do a lot, just, and I always say, I want to work and be successful and help everybody. But at the end of the day too, they're my priority, and raising them to be men that love God, that do good things. So they're my project. And then with that, I always say, I have 2 kids here and 120 in Haiti. So we have 4 orphanages in Haiti that we, we send money to every month just to feed them, and I go visit them. And so those kids are also close to my heart, and making sure they're fed and trying to take care of them the best we can. So that would be, I guess, my biggest project outside of work. So it's most important.
Yes, absolutely agree with you. Actually, myself, I also started my business, my latest business in real estate, because of my son, actually, because I wanted to create a legacy for him. And, you know, I just wanted to do something for him, for the family. And it gives me some fuel, you know.
Right.
Otherwise, all my patience and myself, you know, it's always easier to do something for somebody than just to yourself, you know. I understand exactly what you feel absolutely about it.
I think kids drive, you know, a lot of the clients that I work with too, their kids and their family is a passion that drives them either to create things for them, to create a legacy for them. And I always say, like, a living legacy too, the values you want to teach them and the things you want them to learn. And just to put it this way, like, I always tell my kids the same thing every day, and this has becomes my path. They can repeat it back to me now. But it's hang with the wise, not the fools. Be a leader, not a follower. Do hard things, change the world. And so that's kind of the life mission we live by and want to teach them too.
Absolutely, me too. What was the best experience you had in dream retirement process since you started the project?
Yeah, I can't say that I can name one thing or one specific thing, but I would say it's really a general thing. It's helping, seeing clients being able to express their passion. So I'm not going to just pick one client, but just in general, but seeing people realize, okay, this is possible. I can do this, you know, whether it's to retire and then pursue some other passions or get their business in straight so that they can maybe employ more, or do more things. But it's really that kind of, I guess, the light bulb moment when you see that they realize that those things that they've wanted to do is becoming a reality. And I think that every time, it doesn't matter who you're working with, like, that's always one of the best experiences. So I can't say there's one time, but it's multiple times that happens every time that you get somebody to that spot. And then I would also go just even building the relationships with the partners I've had and seeing them change their business to impact more clients, and the two of those things together. So it's really about impacting people and seeing them live their passions. So.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you. Impacting people is absolutely important. So, speaking about impact, can you please share a person that had an impact on you as an entrepreneur? Maybe it was somebody who mentored you. How did they influence you?
Yeah, I've had different people and mentors in life. And some, I would say, even when I was younger in school teaching, you know, hey, you can do these things. I remember, now this has nothing to do with business, but I think it's important. When I was in elementary school, I loved football and I wanted to be a football player. And granted, I'm a small little scrawny kid who my mom's like, you can't be a football player. But I had one teacher who's like, no, she can be a football player if she wants. And it was that kind of like believe in your passions that it was important. And then, you know, fast forward a little bit, when I was 17, before I joined the business, I did a mission school with an organization called YWAM. And some of my leaders there were very much inspirational and just teaching you how to live and how to live your passions and live your faith. And then in business, there's been multiple ones, you know, multiple different, we go to a lot of meetings all the time. And sometimes the biggest things I learn are from peers. And sometimes we have other mentors that come and guide us. And I think I just got off the phone yesterday with a mentor that I work with today. I think you never grow out of needing mentors and can growing from people. And so what I found is sometimes I've sought them out, you know, who can I go to? And for me, it's not always that they're right next door, right? Sometimes they're on the other side of the country, or I have to find somebody that I can go to. And if you're a business owner, I think that happens sometimes because business owners tend to feel isolated, and you might not have your neighbor that can be the mentor. You have to look for somebody. But he's the guy that I'm just working with now has really been helping me to walk through the process. And sometimes I need to talk through things out loud, and he's been helping me to get things to the next level. So that's been good. One of my other mentors, here's a saying that I think I'll share because I think this makes sense to everybody. But talking about marketing and doing things, we came up with the saying, done beats perfect. So sometimes it's just, you got to do it. If you wait for something to be perfect, it will never happen. So done beats perfect is a saying I use all the time because I think it makes sense. And I think a lot of listeners and business owners can relate to that. If you wait for it to get perfect, it's never going to happen. So done beats perfect.
Thank you. I absolutely agree with you. Tell me about the dream retirement process. How do you work with clients? What exactly your way? How do you work with them actually?
Yeah. So the first time we get together, we always say it's really just about us getting to know each other, you know, getting to know what they want. And we can kind of call it the dream, or we'll go through the goals they have and where they want to go. And the most important thing. So if I get dollar amounts, I don't want the dollar amounts. I want to go beyond that. What are you going to do with it? And that's really our first process, is going and finding that out. And that comes before any of the numbers. So that's kind of our initial process. And then we don't have a cookie cutter. This is the exact same way we do something every time, because it's led by that conversation, you know. So in general terms, after that, we're going to come up with something where we have a quick summary of what you have now and any obstacles or opportunities we see, you know. So maybe there's, you're paying a lot in tax, there's an opportunity to reduce it, or you have way too much risk over here. If the market crashes, you're going to take too big of a loss. So we'll kind of come up with a very simple summary, and then similar action steps. What's the most important thing we need to do now? And it's usually, let's do this, and then we do this, and kind of take one thing at a time versus it all. But it's very much led by each person and what's important to them and where they're at now. And so I always tell people this too. It's interesting because, you know, there's a math component to it, of course, when you're dealing with financial stuff, but the more than math or than the reason behind it is important. And when I was a kid in algebra, I hated algebra. I hated those word problems. I hated them.
Me too.
But the funny thing is, if you gave me a word problem, like, I could figure out the word problem because the word problem made sense to me because it gave it meaning. And so the math is like, it's funny because that's all I do now, right? Is I really work on big word problems. I need to know the other reason, because if you just give me numbers, I think it's boring, right? I need to know the purpose. So that's kind of how we work with each person, if that makes sense.
Thank you for sharing it. So now it's time for fun questions. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
To be able to travel at the speed of thought and just get where I want to go like that. That, I think, would be my superpower.
Why did you pick up this power?
Why the speed of thought? Because there's so many times I'm talking to someone or they are like, I wish I could go give my kids in Haiti a hug every night, but I know I can't be in Haiti every night. So if I could travel at the speed of thought, I could be there and then I could be back. And
anyway. Yes, I see. Thank you very much. What skills or habits do you think help you to become successful?
Yeah, well, I would say a habit, again, kind of going back to my relationship with God. I know that if I start my day with my Bible study and some prayer time, that helps me to keep my focus and where I'm going and allow God to direct me. But I think other, as far as habits or practices, is being persistent, right? And just not being afraid to try, because you're going to, and I guess here's another quote from a mentor that I've had, but he talks about failing forward. Meaning it kind of goes along with the done beats perfect, but you're going to have to try, and then you might have to revamp or think about how it worked or how it didn't work and then try something again. But it's a continual process. And I think what leads to success is not being afraid to try, and then to also examine what worked, what didn't work, or how you can be better, if that makes sense. And this is, I think, as much to do or more to do even with marketing than with, once I'm sitting down with someone, to me, that's a lot easier because I can do that, but it's getting to them. So I think not being afraid to try, because marketing, as we said, is one of the biggest challenges. So you got to keep doing it and then learn from your successes and your mistakes, if that makes sense. Being persistent to always get better was what I would say is some of the things that are keys to success.
Thank you very much. What are you not very good at?
Oh, probably follow through on certain things if I was to do it. And so now I've learned how to develop systems to make sure I do it. It's probably one of my least favorite things, but that is probably something I'm not good at and have to hire staff or collaborate with people to help in those weaknesses.
Yes, it's the best way, actually. There is two ways. Otherwise, you work on your weaknesses. Otherwise, you hire somebody who will do these things for you and you forget about it.
Yes, I kind of We kind of do a little both. I mean, I've done enough to, I can follow up, you know, I know it's important, but at the same point then, and I think this is important for business owners too, because you have so much on your plate that you're trying to juggle sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not that I don't care. It's that, you know, now this is going over here and in my brain, okay, it's done. I got to go back over here and do something. And you can't focus on all these things. So you have to be.
Absolutely. It's called multitasking. It's the enemy of the business owner.
Yes.
So for me, I hate follow-up and the real estate. It's absolutely important thing. I just find somebody to do this for me. It's better way, no?
Yes, I think we have to have a team around you. Anybody who thinks you can do it all, it's not great. And yeah, I can multitask to a point, but I can't be over here and over here at the same time. So something gets dropped. So you have to have a team around you. So.
Absolutely. If you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Okay, that's a good question. So the first one I would say is Jesus, and it might, I can talk to him in prayer, but if I was going to, could sit down with the person of Jesus, that would be my first, for obviously all my faith reasons. But the second one's not so spiritual, it's Brett Favre. Brett Favre is my favorite. I love Brett Favre. I watched him for years growing up as a player, saw him as a person, you know, develop. And so it's on my list to meet Brett Favre someday. So those are my first two. The third one I was thinking about, and it maybe made me think a little harder, but I think I might pick George Mueller. And he was a guy from England that started a bunch of orphanages, and he did it all by faith. You know, he just asked God, this is what I need, and he got it. And so his faith is incredible in what he did with the orphanages by just trusting God. So he would probably be my third one. Just obviously orphans are, that is important to me, but just the life of faith to be able to pray and really believe in that way. So I think it would be those three.
Thank you very much, Dev. Excellent choice, I think. Yes, I would like to meet Jesus myself. It's can't be.
Someday I will meet him, but you know.
Yes, we will meet him, of course, but yeah, you know, in the different way I would like. Okay, yeah. If you receive $10,000, just like one win of the lottery, how would you use the money?
Well, with any money that I receive from anything, there's always going to be a portion that goes, that is given away. And it's our big focus that's given away, and it depends on what's needed at the time. And if I could use it there, it might all go there. And I guess then it would go back. So after we give some away, it would be what is needed at the time, is if there's anything else we can do for the kids in Haiti, the kids here, or it gets put away for future for those things. So if I had a project at home at the time, I might use it that way too. But the first part would be given away, and then the second part would be deciding on what's happening. So if that makes sense.
Yes, of course. What is the best tip for making the world a better place? I see you work a lot with charities.
Yeah. So I always, and I take people a lot with me to Haiti. And what I always tell people is this, is I think what would make the world a better place is everybody did what they were supposed to do. So I kind of said in the beginning, I very much believe that God puts passions on our hearts, and he has a purpose for us. And that purpose is always going to be involving someone else in some way, shape, or form too. I was actually talking to a client the other day, talking about what I read in a book from Bill Hybels once, and he was calling it your holy discontentment. And what he was talking about is if there was a problem that really irritated you or bothered you, whether it was homelessness or slavery or whatever it is, that's usually something that God wants you to do something about. And so I think the world would be a different place if everybody just did what they were supposed to do. But too often you look at a problem and you think, oh my goodness, that's too big of a problem. I can't make a difference.
Yeah.
We come with this a lot when we go to Haiti. Haiti is it's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. You know, it's not hopeful looking when you go there. And when I take people, a lot of times it's their first trip out to a third world country. Mm-hmm. And they see all this stuff and you kind of can get discouraged. And so I said, here's the thing. We can't change all of Haiti, but we can change Haiti for these kids. And if everybody did what the little thing you're supposed to do and everyone did it, the world would be different. But too often we look at the big problem and we say, well, I can't make a difference and I do nothing, and everybody does nothing, and then it doesn't change. So that's where I believe if everybody just did what they were supposed to do and followed their passions that God put on their heart, the world would be different.
Thank you very much. What is coming up on the horizon? What is your next project?
Yeah, well, we're working on some fall events. I have a couple webinars that we just scheduled for the fall, some for taxes for business owners. We have a couple coming up just on the markets because the market's been at an all-time high, and now we're talking about where is it going. Is it going to stay there or is it going to crash, and how to make sure that you're protected? So we have a few of those events coming up, both webinars and some live events, and that is one of the big prime. That'll be our fall focus, is doing some of those events. And then I am also going back to Haiti in November, so that's on the horizon as well. So
thank you. Share the best advice you can give to the listeners.
The best advice. Oh, that's I could go back to my saying that I tell Asa. I'm just going to use that because I think it can be used for everything. So I tell my son and I tell my teenagers is this: the best advice is hang with the wise, not the fools. And so I would go with that is, and that just doesn't mean people that you are physically around, but what you watch, what you listen to, the books you read, hang with the wise. When you're with the wise, you become wise. And so that's the first piece. Then hang with the wise, not the fools. Be a leader, not a follower. And there's a great book too that I have in this in our office. It's really about financial planning too, but he's talking about following the herd. And so many people just kind of do what everybody does. And sometimes you have to learn where that information came from. And be a leader might mean not that you do it on your own, but maybe that you do against the flow because you're going to do what makes sense for you. So do hard things. Nothing in life changes. Nothing happens, comes easily. And I think change for everybody is a challenge, but sometimes, and there's something we always talk about, the status quo bias is what people would stay with what they have, no matter how bad a performance or how bad things are, because it's easier than making a change. And so the do hard things is, you know, realize what you have to change and make those changes. And then pursue your passions. And by doing that, you'll change the world. So there's my hang with the wise, not the fools. Be a leader, not a follower. Do hard things and change the world.
Thank you for all this advice. I hope that my listeners will use them. What is the best way to reach you?
Yeah, so our website for easy remembering is creatingyourdreamretirement.com. So creatingyourdreamretirement.com. On there, you can request a copy of our book. We have a few e-courses that are there as well, seeing when some of our webinars are up and our contact information. So that's probably the easiest, is going to creatingyourdreamretirement.com. From there, you can email us as well. And so I think that's easier. I can give an email, but I know that if you're listening, it's probably don't have a pen in hand. So, but my email would be michelle@bertram, and it's spelled Bert Ram. So Bertram financial.com. So go to our website, send me an email. Our numbers are on the website as well, and be happy to talk to you and answer any questions you have and really help you live your passions and help you with the business plan for life to do so.
Thank you very much, Michelle, for your time. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and see you next time.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you for checking out the show. And don't forget, you can find all the resources, links, and show notes over at investtribe.org. See you next week on the Roadmap to Wealth show.